Let's give it up for Spencer. Excited to hear from you.
Thank you. So before I start into sermon, I have a potentially sad thing to share with you. We had a plan for what was going to happen. You weren't going to hear as many words from me as you are today. And I was going to lean on some other people to share what God's doing in their life. And one of those people was Mallory. But she asked me to call an audible because her husband, Nati, who many of you know, had to go to South Africa, kind of had to rush there because his mom is not doing well. We really want to keep Mallory and Nati and Nati's mother in prayer this morning and throughout this week. So he is there. Mallory had to drive him to Washington, D.C. on Friday night and hung out in Washington, D.C. Saturday morning and then came home. So she was a little tapped out energy-wise. And so I said, totally take some rest. You need to be there and be there to emotionally support Nati. So again, we want to cover them in prayer this morning and really send God's love to them. So I didn't really realize that this happens or that it was going to happen, or maybe it was the plan, maybe it wasn't. But we have a ton of people going on mission trips right now in this time of the year. So if you were here last week, you know that we sent the Paradise, California mission trip team, and they are there. I dropped them off at the airport at 5:30 yesterday morning. So we left Ashland at 4. Jared thought he forgot his wallet, so we had to go back to his house, and it turns out it was in his bag the whole time. I told him I wasn't going to tell that story, but I did. So you can all razz him for that when he gets back. They are currently in Manteca. They're at our dear friend Miles Larson's church. Bill's probably getting himself ready to start preaching out there. And then they're taking a 3-hour drive up to Paradise, California, to literally sift through ashes to look for personal items of the people who were hit by wildfires there. It's really exciting to know that that's happening. We're getting communication from them and hopefully some pictures throughout the week. We also have these two mission trips going out. AU has other mission trips going on. It's a really exciting time. And I thought, well, if I've got to talk, I might as well talk about missions, right? It just makes sense. So I wanted to talk about what happens when we go and when we don't go, because the majority of you in the room right now are not going on a mission trip. And there's like 5 of you in the room who are going on a mission trip. So I think it's important for us to just be reminded of what our mission is. When we go and when we don't go. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert right now. None of this is new or innovative. In fact, I'm repeating a lot of what Bill has said over the last couple weeks, but it's because it's so important and I really want you guys to get it. And so I'm hammering it home this week. He might be proud or he might think I'm lazy, but he's not here. So what's he going to do about it? We get really, really excited when we're going on a short-term mission, right? We're going to spend a week or a couple weeks going and doing something, right? We're going to provide medical care. We might not know what we're doing, but you can kind of guess maybe there's going to be a manual labor component or some type of prayer component in your mission trip. And when you're preparing to go on the trip, you might have some anxiety, right? You might have some excitement. You're really excited to do the things that you're going to do. You're really scared to do the things that you're going to do. You get all this empowerment, thinking about all the good that's going to happen while you're on that short-term mission for that week, wherever it might be. I've done 3 short-term mission trips. When I was in college here at AU, did the mystery mission trip. We ended up in Orlando, Florida. But whoever put the Sharpie marker on our sign-up form didn't do a good enough job blacking out Orlando, so we all knew we were going to Orlando way before we got on the plane to go to Orlando. And that was a really, really, really cool trip because we did almost no manual labor, and we were scared the whole time because you think Orlando's like the happiest place on earth, Disney, Orlando Studios, and there's a whole bunch of human trafficking and a whole bunch of drugs, and it's a really, really, really scary place. And so we spent that week basically confronting those evils around us. The other two trips I've gone to were very unfortunate because they're in that awful city, Chicago. I hate the Cubs. I'm sorry if you like them. So it's awful that I've been there twice for mission trips. I've done my service, you know. I don't have to do anything else for Chicago, right? All right, sorry. Now, I did two trips in Chicago with an organization called the Center for Student Missions. I did one as a high school student and one as an adult leader for another denomination for like 40 churches. We sent like, I think, 50 kids and oversaw that whole mission. And that was a little more traditional. We were working with homeless people, going to soup kitchens, doing some manual labor, those sorts of things, scraping paint off of walls and that sort of stuff. But before I talk about the effect of those short-term missions, I want to look at what the Bible says about missions, or what we think about when we think about missions in the Bible. So in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Mark 16, 15, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Matthew 24, 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Psalm 96, 3, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." Mark 13, 10, "And the gospel must first be preached to all nations." I've heard all of these passages used in reference to going on mission trips. And every time I've come home from a mission trip, I feel like I didn't do any of that. Those are big, huge, bold goals, right? And the theme is going. Like, go out into all the world. Give the gospel to all nations. And I'm like, I scraped paint off a wall in inner city Chicago for a week. I don't really feel like I accomplished that task. And so what that has done for me is it's made me look at the value of short-term mission trips. And I think there's so much value in them because every single one of those trips, I've come back just a little bit different. Maybe a lot different. Certainly in the moment, a lot different. When I was in Chicago as a high school junior, I hadn't really seen poverty. I grew up on the lower income side of a very high income suburb of Cleveland, and all of my experience with Cleveland was going downtown. I didn't have to see any of the bad stuff, the dirty stuff, the poor side of Cleveland. When I went to Orlando, I had to learn about human trafficking and what it looks like to see people in modern-day slavery. I was able to feel what actual darkness is like in the world. There's this stretch of road called the Orange Beach Trail. It's like 9 miles long, and it, at the time, was the most concentrated area of human trafficking in the United States. Human traffickers would coax women with jobs at the resorts at Disney, and would pick them up at the airport and immediately insert them into the human trafficking trade. And there was no way they could get out. When I went back to Orlando, I got to see that transformation that I had in high school for a bunch of other high school students. This time they weren't rich suburb kids, they were well-off rural kids who had never been to a city that had more than a couple of buildings. So Chicago was culture shock for them. And I got to see them confront that and begin to understand how different that world is and really what to start thinking about it. So it's funny to me how these short-term missions rarely end up accomplishing these huge, lofty goals, but they still do something that's incredibly important. when I was in Chicago this last time in 2016. There was a homeless shelter, and the director of the homeless shelter is this, he's a real character. He's a non-believer, but he really wanted our help to just talk with the guys that were in his shelter. His shelter was specifically for men. It was one of only three in all of Chicago. And after the experience, spending like an hour just in the shelter talking to people, he sat us out front and he had a conversation with us. And one of the things that he said was, "You all are just a flash in the pan. What you're doing here has no long-term lasting effect." And I just saw the faces of these high school students drop, right? They were like, "Well, what are we even doing?" And then he said, "But now you know, and that makes all the difference. You know that these people exist. More importantly, you know that they are really, 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 really good people." He's like, "That's why I didn't have you preparing food. I didn't have you doing any maintenance on my shelter. I didn't have you cleaning anything." He said, "I just wanted you to sit down and talk with them so that you realized they are in no way different from you. They have the same amount of humanity as you. They deserve the same amount of love as you. They are really, really, really good people." And that was it. That summed it up for me. I said, "That's why we go on short-term missions." And that's exciting, because what that does is that allows us to be different when we come back. Here's the part that's totally review, okay? When we don't go, or when we get back, what should we do? Is our mission over because we got back from the mission trip? Nope. Our mission continues, and it's what we've been hearing about. Our mission is to take on the attitude of Jesus. If you are here for our How the Brethren Approach the Word series, you should be familiar with this passage now. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In Mark 12, 29 through 31, when asked what the most important commandment is, he says, "The most important commandment," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." So it's simple. When you get back, do these things. Follow those two greatest commandments. Love your God and love your neighbor as yourself. What that short-term mission does for us is it opens our eyes to the humanity of all of the people, to all of our neighbors. And hopefully you come home and you see that those people you met in that mystery city, or those children in the Dominican Republic, or those people in Chicago, or Orlando, or wherever it is that you go, they're all people. Jesus loves them. You should too. So how do we do that with our neighbors? Who is your neighbor? Who are you thinking about right now when I'm telling you that your mission is to your neighborhood, is to your community? I can't answer that question for you. But I think there is another level, another story that I want to bring up that's helpful. Figuring out how to do this when we're here, when we can't go, or when going just means down the street. My absolute favorite story in the entire Bible comes from Acts. I'm going to read it to you. It's very short. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it. "The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. This is such a beautiful image because these people have so much faith that they lay themselves out on the streets just hoping that Peter's shadow would pass them by, and their faith heals them. People come from surrounding towns, and it's not like hopping in the car in Mansfield and heading into Ashland so that Peter's shadow could pass over you. This is grueling. You are sick, you're tired, or it's your loved one who's sick and tired, and you carry them on your back into Jerusalem, and you wait expectantly, patiently. And what does this have to do with going to our neighbors for our mission to our neighbors? I simply wonder what it would look like if we lived in a way that our neighbors understood this. And while they didn't approach us like this, they saw what was different about us, and they knew that they could come to us for help. What if we lived in a way that our neighbors simply knew that we had something different that was worth also having? And your mission came to you like these sick people. Now, I'm not saying you need to walk down the middle of the street all high and mighty and your shadow needs to pass over sick people and heal them. It's more the attitude that's there, right? To say, I believe so deeply in the love and the mission of Jesus Christ that I conduct my life in a specific way. And everyone who comes into contact with me knows it. And that doesn't mean posting about it on Facebook. That doesn't mean telling everyone that you see, hey, I'm this way because of Jesus, because that might offend some people or turn them off. But it's doing those things from Matthew 11. It's being a person who is gentle and humble in heart, who can help their neighbor find rest. It's loving your neighbor as yourself. I believe in that. I believe that our mission is to be those things to our neighbors, to our community. That there's really a huge journey in that. It's an inward journey of your own heart that plays out in the changing of your neighborhood, of your community. How different would Ashland look if every single person in this room decided that they were going to love their neighbor as themselves, that they were going to orient their lives around being a beacon of hope? When I got back from Chicago and Orlando, I felt like there was more I could do here. And I decided I wanted to be a teacher. And then I very quickly decided I didn't want to be a teacher because I didn't feel like it was doing what I wanted to do. It was helping who I wanted to help. And then I kind of stumbled my way into this awesome position at a very small nonprofit in this town called Ashland Parenting Plus. And everybody that I work with is that same demographic that I worked with in Chicago, that I worked with in Orlando. They're all in extreme poverty right in this town. Now, I'm not saying quit your job and go work with poor people. But whatever you're doing, orient it around being these things. Orient it around the attitude of Jesus. For me, it was sitting into that version of life where I always had myself in front of the people that society said were less fortunate so that I could constantly remind myself, these people are really, really, really good people, and they deserve all the same things that I deserve. And then, by constantly reminding myself of that attitude, I give it to them. I give them my time. I give them my ears. So, That's who I made my neighbors, right? Who are your neighbors? Who's the community that you can be Jesus to? It's simple. For whom can you take on that attitude to be a beacon of hope? Who can you love as yourself? I'm going to invite the band back up. We're going to play a couple more songs. And during this second worship set, I want you to really think about that question. Who is your mission to? Who is Jesus calling you to? Whether you can go on a short-term mission or a long-term mission, or you're here and you can't go, who can you go to? Is it your physical neighbors, the people who live next door to you? Is it someone down the street? Is it the people who every month come to the Polk Fire Station for our food bank? Is it your students? Is it your clients? Your patients? Whoever it is, take on that attitude of Jesus and see his change ripple out through our community. Because if we could do that, then I think those missional verses at the beginning, they start to happen. We start to see that gospel spread across the whole world, starting here, emanating from you, into this room, out of this room, past this community. That's our mission. I pray that you'll accept it. Father, we thank you for this.